to you, sirs and madams. Welcome to A Link to the Cast, a brand new video games podcast coming to you from City Talk 105.9, the all-talk radio station for Liverpool, the North West and North Wales. We're also going out internationally on citytalk.fm and we're available from reputable podcast vendors. It's all free, of course. Now, over the next few weeks, months and years, we'll bring you the latest news from the world of video games, as well as interviews with their stars and development teams, and have a whole heap of reviews of games coming to your Xbox, Nintendo Wii's and PlayStation 3's. We're also talking handhelds and downloadable content if you're lucky. Now, my name is Mick. I'll be guiding you through things with the rest of the team. Adam is on producing duties today. Say hello, Adam.
Hello.
And introducing Ricardo, our PlayStation 3 man.
Word! How you doing?
How's it going?
I'm trying to
set you up, sell you as a person and as a gamer. What's your favourite game of all time?
It's got to be Metal Gear. Any of the Metal Gear games I'm an absolute fanatic of, but Metal Gear 4... did it for me. Absolutely love that game. I play it for hours on end.
So Rick's going to be guiding us through PlayStation 3.
Fifth time now.
Brian Shelf.
I bought another controller just to play it again.
Brian Shelf on the Xbox 360. Say hello, Brian.
Pip, pip.
Best ever game?
Oh, that's hard. Loads of the Mario ones. Super Mario World, probably the first one. More recently, can't stop playing Guitar Hero,
awesome.
Probably more than any other game.
What's better, 3 or World Tour?
World Tour, but it hasn't got some of the tracks of 3.
And also, I'll be fronting up sort of Nintendo Wii's latest reviews as well. Rick's going to be on PlayStation 3, and Brian Shelf on Xbox 360, my favourite game of all time. I'm going to say GoldenEye, and I'm going to bring this up later because I have an issue with GoldenEye, but I'll bring it up later on. You're listening to A Link to the Cast. Coming up on this podcast, we'll be speaking to The Gadget Show's Jason Bradbury about the BAFTA Game Awards. They're happening in mid-March. And the voice of Grand Theft Auto, Laszlo Jones, will be here to talk about the brand new downloadable content, The Lost and the Damned. We'll also have a review of that. We'll be talking Killzone 2 on the PS3 and House of the Dead Overkill on Wii. So it's A Link to the Cast on your MP3 player and on www.citytalk.fm. Going to start off, chaps, with your month, your week in gaming. Rick, what's been in your PS3?
Well, I've been playing absolutely loads of Street Fighter 4, really. Trying to get ready for when they switched it online, and it didn't work. They switched the servers online last week, and I'm still rubbish. I'm getting spanked all over the world.
It's gone straight to the top of the PS3 charts.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is fantastic. I've been loving it, but I can't help but find the feeling that whenever I try and play it, it's been designed to have a joystick, and I haven't got a joystick, man. It's so hard.
The retail price on those joysticks are something like $69.99 for a basic one.
That's for a basic one. £150 if you want the Arcade Pro Edition, made with actual arcade buttons. £300 you're going to spend out to play Street Fighter properly, aren't you?
We put some feelers out to get hold of one of these new control pads, and it's just not happening because nobody's got them either.
No. We had you were contacting people, I was contacting people. I even got somebody at another radio station to see if we could get one. We could not get one.
Crikey. Brian Shelf, what have you been playing this week?
This week, I've been playing Lost and the Damned. Also, just because I can't put it down at all, it's still Guitar Hero World Tour for me. And I actually, last night, got 100% on perfect for the first time. On expert.
My God. On expert.
What track?
On an expert track.
Oh,
and it's
man.
On it's called Monsoon, is it? By Tokyo Hotel or something like that. It's one of the easier ones, to be honest.
Did you get the Guitar Hero sweats where you get 3/4 of the way through and you think, you know what, it's
your
coming.
Fingers are slipping off the buttons at the shaft. Oh my God, what's going on?
That's it. And you know you're just going to miss the big long note
exactly.
at the end. But obviously.
Well done.
Have a life.
Round of applause. Round of applause.
Come on, Adam.
I got me new telly this week.
Oh, man. I've seen it.
It's a new big telly. And I got one of the Wii component cables, which doesn't give you HD, but it looks pretty good.
It's 720p or something, isn't it?
I stuck Mario Kart on there, Mario Kart Wii. It just looks super. I played House of the Dead Overkill on it. That also looks super.
Brilliant.
I then watched Lord of the Rings on it. That also
nice.
Looks, but that's for the DVD.
That's the first thing we did when we got a bigger HD TV as well.
Lord of the Rings.
Sad a week.
It's the experience.
You know?
Okay, we're going to talk a little bit more about games in a second. I'm going to set up a new competition. It's going to be a brand new competition right here on A Link to the Cast. And I want you to get involved as well. All you have to do, what I'm going to do, and this is the premise, this is the mechanic, as we call it in the industry. I'm going to think, or I'm going to conjure up, shall we say, a series of events, a news story, if you might call it that, involving a video game's character.
Okay.
It might be Mario, it might be Sonic.
All right.
Who knows?
It might be any kind of an event.
It'll be an event. And then what you have to do is imagine that if this event occurred in real life, this is the worst competition ever, what would the headline be in the paper?
Okay.
Okay, so we're thinking tabloid headlines. I'm going to set you on. Now, you can get involved in this on the email. So we'll wrap this up at the end of the show. But if you want to email in as well, your thoughts, we'll do the best of those next time we do the podcast as well.
Okay.
I'm going to give you this week's, this month's story. The star of Metal Gear Solid was driving down a road when he span off, crashing his car into a field full of cows and ending up with a car flipping over repeatedly. I want a headline from that. So the star of Metal Gear Solid was driving down a road when he span off, crashing his car into a field full of cows and ending up with a car flipping over repeatedly. Now, that's the story. Have a think of the headline. If you want to get involved, you want to email in, email games at citytalk.fm. That reminds me, Adam, set up that as an email address, games at citytalk.fm. No, I promise you it'll be there. And give me your headline as it would appear. Does that make sense, Brian?
It does, yeah. Yeah, am I allowed to have a game?
Yeah, but just hang on. Just hang on. We're going to wrap it up at the end.
Cool.
What I've done there is I've teased.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the story. Have a think of the headline. You're listening to A Link to the Cast. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. We'll take a look at some of the stories breaking in the world of video games around the world at the moment. I want to touch on the Nintendo DSi because I'm not quite sure where it's going to sit in the whole sort of handheld market at the moment. News is that it's going to retail UK price £149.99, so just shy of £150. It's the second upgrade of the DS. Obviously, there was the original DS, then there was the DS Lite. It's going to have two screens, slightly bigger than the screens as they stand at the moment. Originally, it was thought they were both going to be touch screens. They're not. Yeah. One will be touch screen. They're going to be brighter, slightly bigger. There's going to be an SD card slot as well. And you're also going to be able to go onto your Nintendo channel and download DSware.
Pretty awesome.
Similar to WiiWare.
Right. And that's all Wi-Fi for your home network,
so
I'm guessing.
This is the point. Now, this is £150. Now, are there enough new features in this to make you think, well, this is worth spending money on? I would think no. Because the WiiWare system is new, so people are just getting used to that on Wii. Why would you upgrade having spent 110?
People do, though. I mean, they've been flagging life out of Game Boys for years. They released the Game Boy Colors and the Advances, and you know, you bought a Game Boy a few years ago, and there was all sorts of different ports on there because they had multiple different kind of formats for games on there. Yeah, but people will buy it. I'm sure of that.
I think, though, Nintendo here have possibly made a mistake, because what you're used to in any new Nintendo product coming out is a bit of innovation, and it appears what they've actually done is just stick a camera on it. And is there isn't a single piece of electronic gadgetry you can't get now that doesn't have a camera on it.
Yeah,
I'd be quite happy to pay extra to not have a camera. Not only has it got one camera, it's got two cameras, which I don't understand.
This is what I heard. So what?
One that looks at you, one that looks at what you're looking at.
Pretend you're not looking at girls on the train. Is that what it's for if you're like 16? You know,
and secretly you're capturing.
Well, actually, yeah, you're looking at your DS screen, looking at girls on the train. You nerd, brilliant.
The biggest advantage I think for anything DS based is now I travel to work on the train. Is I would like one that reads thoughts, not sound, because you cannot get on a train after you've spent the whole day previously shouting objection. At your DS. That's the one thing.
Did you actually try doing that objection on the old Ace?
No, I never tried doing the objection. I have had to blow on it.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the one playing on Zelda Phantom Hourglass. The one where he goes, "You have a map, but it's a bit dusty. What are you going to do about it?" And you have to go. But then sort of look like you're... In fact, there's one.
Push your lips together and blow.
I forget what he was, but it was like, hey, he appears to have fallen asleep. You'll have to wake him. Shout. And so you can't go, wake up, on the chain. So you end up going, you sort of bring it to your face and go...
See, I'm all for that kind of things, you know, in the home. You know, I'm a big fan of WarioWare, and if there's not another game out there that makes you look as stupid as far as I'm concerned. But yeah, I don't want to be sat on the train kind of... trying to talk to my DS. It scares me a bit.
Not practical, is it?
It scares other people as well, I think.
I want to pick up on a couple of PlayStation stories. PlayStation Network, 20 million users have registered.
That's a lot of people. That's around the world, isn't it? I mean, that's still a hell of a lot of people around there.
So it went live something like, what is it, 2.5 years ago?
Yeah,
you get digital content, multiplayer games, social functions, features, and all that sort of stuff. 20 million users, which brings me on to the next piece.
Well, I was going to say, as with all stat stories, there's a pinch of salt there. I've got like 6 people registered on my PS3. I'm the only one that plays it regularly because it's in my house. But, you know, there's various reasons for registering other people on your PS3s. So I'm not going to illustrate all of them, but I have one person who's meant to be in America. If you if you pretend that somebody's in America, you just fill in an American address. It allows you to go to the American PlayStation store, download demos from 2 weeks before they are going to arrive in the UK on some stuff. So it's actually, you know, a really worthy thing of doing, but it seems like a ridiculous thing because they can track your IP. Why don't they just say, oh, if your IP is coming through Europe, then you can only go to the European PlayStation store. It's a silly thing, but, you know, I've got a mate who doesn't play on his PS3 because he's registered mine.
Well, PS3s, we understand, we're hearing a number of sort of resources and sources online saying that there's going to be a price cut, $100 in the States as of the start of April. So that's actually results as being about £100 now in the UK.
God.
Does it though? Because these things happen and then when it comes through over here, it's like, oh, it's £25.
You know, if you were going to America, you'd be saving about £100. Yeah. But when it comes over here,
it's £25 and you get a free carry case. That's what it'll do for Britain.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with the 360 really took off when the prices came right down. And because the Wii went in at £180, PlayStation 3, when it came out at £450, something like that, really didn't pick up because that was so much money to spend. Of course, you do get the Blu-ray player, which is what all PlayStation 3 people say is the real reason that they wanted to get it.
Well, for me, the PlayStation 3 is a console that I chose for the gaming reason. I'm a PlayStation nerd, obviously. If Metal Gear is my game of choice, then it's not going to be any other way, is it?
I like it. So let's conclude that there is no conclusion to be had.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes. A couple of just gaming stories here. Dead Space. There's going to be Dead Space Extraction, apparently. All new chapter coming to Wii exclusively. Dead Space. Rick, have you been on that?
I absolutely love Dead Space on the PS. Did you play it on the 360? I mean,
I played it on the 360. Well, I played about the first third of it. And
really?
To be honest, I found it a bit repetitive.
Right. Well, I suppose that's fair enough.
It looks great.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of survival horror things, and for me, it kind of did a lot of what Resident Evil 4 did back on the Wii and PS2 and stuff, but it kind of changed it. Like, not being able to pause the game to look for your inventory is an absolutely terrifying decision when you're in the middle of all these kind of crazy aliens going to try and rip your head off and you've got to reload your gun or equip a new item or something. It's like, what on earth am I doing? It's absolutely properly scary. Now, I've seen clips of this Extraction for the Wii and it looks awesome. I'm also a big fan of shoot 'em up games. You're going to be talking about House of the Dead later, aren't
big
you,
time.
Mick? And that is an awesome game. This, Dead Space, in first-person Wii-style shooting should be brilliant. I can't wait for it.
Excellent. And I just want to wrap up with Red Alert 3. Which is taking full advantage, apparently, of the Blu-ray disc capacity. Some of the features, 5 new multiplayer maps, behind-the-scenes videos and trailers, including Raising the Iron Curtain documentary, From Pens to Pixels. Here it is, The Girls of Red Alert 3.
There you go.
Bloopers and outtakes, and the Red Alert 3 remix, and many more. Some of the girls involved in the making of the game, Gemma Atkinson, Gina Carano, Kelly Hugh, Jenny McCarthy, and
American film star Jenny McCarthy.
Extras as well. Red Alert, God. That's one of them. I just don't get it. Commander Joker.
No.
Yeah, we'll bring you that.
It's quite obvious what they're trying to do there, isn't it? You know, they get all these kind of ladies and they wrap them up in tight clothes and pretend that they're in the military in the future or whatever, just so that the 16-year-olds kind of feel for it, if you say.
I beg your pardon.
You're digging.
Absolutely. Have you got anything else? I wanted to nip in earlier when you were talking about the DSi and the Guitar Hero controller.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I was going to say about how big Guitar Hero is. Have you seen any of the new features for Guitar Hero Metallica Edition?
No, I've seen the track listing, though.
Yeah?
And it's actually quite an impressive bit of kit for...
Yeah, absolutely.
What? Damn well. The thing is, you've got to put up with something like 27 Metallica tracks.
Well, this is it, you know. I got to play an Aerosmith edition, and to be honest, it wears thin after a while.
Because it's Aerosmith.
Yeah, exactly.
I even found on Guitar Hero World Tour, having to play 3 Tool tracks in a row was enough for me. So.
I've still not done that gig. What I was going to say about the Metallica edition is... Lemmy from Motorhead's going to be in it.
How cool is that? As a playable character?
Yeah, absolutely. Which can only mean one thing as far as I'm concerned. The Ace of Spades. How good is that going to be? I absolutely love, the Ace of Spades and Guitar Hero anyway, so I can't wait to see that.
Brian Shelf, spotted anything that's caught your eye this month, this week, this year?
Do you want this one? I'll tell you what, actually.
It's probably old news now, but we're talking about survival horror. I, of course, downloaded to play the new Resi 5 Devil on the Xbox 60. After Resident Evil 4, on the Wii, particularly the Wii edition, yeah, it's great on the GameCube, but the Wii edition was just amazing. Easily, you know, up there in my top five games. I was frankly disappointed with the demo.
Really?
I found it looked great, but I thought there's a couple of problems with it.
Did you play it co-op?
No, I didn't play it co-op. I think that's one of the problems. It seems to be designed for co-op
that's
play.
That's exactly what it's for. That's all it's about as far as I've seen, yeah.
And she kept standing in the way when I was trying to shoot things. Fortunately, your bullets appear to go through her head, but you can't see what you're shooting at. And and it also seems to be heading back, slightly disappointingly, to the limited ammo ways that ruined the first three games for me. I thought Resident Evil 4 was a much better game for the fact that you didn't really have any ammo issues. Right. Issues at any point in time, but hopefully, you know, those are the sort of things that they might get some feedback on correct.
Yeah. Oh my god, it's hard. I don't know if it ramps it up, but we just got axed to death over and over. I couldn't believe how many times we died, but we finished the demo eventually. Just a bit too hard at the moment. I'm with you on there on the ammo.
Yeah. A game should last for a long period. And Resident Evil, I got probably 40-50 hours of play out of it, and that's just through it not being too hard. That's just because they've put so many levels and so many
and
things.
You go back
it.
And unlock all the extra costumes. You have what's her name, the president's daughter. You can eventually tool her up with a kit of plate armor if you've clocked it like three times. It's ridiculous, but great. It means she can't get shot anyway.
Good work.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so it's a link to the cast on City Talk 105.9. We're talking video games, of course, and we're talking about award-winning video games because we've got the BAFTA Video Game Awards coming out 10th of March in London. There's still chance to vote for your Game of the Year. So it's Game of the Year 2008, but the award arrives on the 10th of March 2009. Joining us today, first ever guest on a link to the cast, Jason Bradbury. You'll know him from the Gadget Show.
Beat that, man. You've got to go some now. You started with the best. Now interview the rest.
I presume then we can still vote then and decide who's going to win this Game of the Year.
Definitely. So the great thing about the BAFTA Game Awards is that, you know, it's not people in suits making the decision on your behalf. It's gamers who can get online and vote. So get this URL, BAFTAGameAward.com.
We've already ripped that. We've stuck it on the show notes page on the City Talk site. Yeah, absolutely. So, have you voted yet, Jason?
I'm one of the judges.
You're ruled out, aren't you?
Yeah, I helped compile the final list.
Right, well, good, because we're going to go through the list.
Yeah.
Because there's some issues in there.
Go on, then. What do you have a problem with?
The ones that stand out for me.
I want the ones that you don't like.
All right.
That's what I'm interested in.
All right, I'll go. You know what? World of Warcraft. We're happy to admit that, you know, a lot of these video games, the sort of games we play, we're happily admit they're quite geeky. We're very geeky. This is nerdy.
Yeah, this is taking
it to a whole new level, isn't it?
Let me tell you how nerdy this is, how niche this is, right? So Wrath of the Lich King, which was the latest expansion released on the 19th of, oh, so the 18th of November, I think it was, in 2008. So it's only been released two months or so. And it sold 2.8 million copies in 24 hours.
That's nerds for you. I mean, you got it.
And it's an expansion pack, though, isn't it?
It's just an expansion pack, and it sold almost 3 million. No, and what I find incredible about that, no, what you have to get your head around here is that it's, you know, the word expansion pack does not in any way explain the complexity of a game that took 3 years to develop. And it is essentially a new game. It just works within the World of Warcraft environment. Yeah, so
they've thrown in a few extra features, haven't they? They've thrown in like the trophy kind of thing, so you can go and get achievements now and stuff recently in World of Warcraft.
Well, the big thing is the Death Knight class, which again is, I wouldn't normally go down that route because you've got to be a World of Warcraft player to understand that. But I mean, if people are listening and they've not sampled World of Warcraft, here's the deal. If you've played it, you don't need to listen to me.
Yeah.
If you've not played it, then I have to explain everything about it. So it's a massive multiplayer online role-playing game, which you boys are familiar with.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I used to play WoW, actually, about a year and a half
ago. He calls it WoW. Yeah. You know he's a player when he calls it WoW.
No.
He's down with a click, and you lost you lost your life to it.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I nearly lost my girlfriend, so I had to ditch the WoW. How sad is that?
For me, the most amazing thing about it is that yet another graphics upgrade, so it's much better. Yeah. It doesn't stand alongside, say, Call of Duty Modern Warfare, one of the other games that's made it into the finals.
That's a big hit for me. I love Call
graphically,
of Duty.
Graphically, but it deserves its place. What else? About Gears of War 2, have you played that?
Slick. Yeah, I've played that quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean, I'll pick out Gears of War 2. Fallout 3, my issue with these games and a lot of Xbox 360 games is I wonder, at what point do we stop with the Space Marines?
Yeah.
At what point
do
you get these big, hulky blokes with big guns going around killing alien types?
Okay, I'll tell you what I think. It is simply this, that the amount of investment and time, you know, in a games title is so extreme and such a risk for the people who put the money up, that when you walk along with a Space Marine, they go, Halo, yeah, okay. It's another Halo. Let's go with that. And so what I find remarkable about some of the games that are actually in the BAFTAs this year and in the final game list, the Game Award of 2008, is that they're not all those types of games. So let me give an example. You know Little Big Planet, right?
Oh, yeah. I love that game.
We're all there, unanimously putting our hands up in the room of all the judges.
I heart LVP.
Okay, and a brilliant game, again, for people who aren't familiar with it. How would you describe it? Charlie and Lola, you know, with cut-out kiddie characters in a kind of funky gaming environment. Where you can fly around on a sofa, or you can make something out of cardboard and speed along. It's a platformer where you can design your own levels. Brilliant use of the PS3's graphics engine, and of course its online capability.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the best use of the PS3's graphical capabilities so far. It has to be one of the best looking games
ever. Some of the textures in there, it just all looks so friendly and fun, kind of soft.
And yet playable even for the hardcore audience. Yeah, I agree.
Absolutely, yeah.
And another game, to go back
to Gears of War, I'm not going to let Mick bash that, because is, again, one of the most stunning games.
I think it looks great, especially on one of these proper 50-inch plasma LCD jobs.
Oh, brilliant. Have you got a 50-inch?
No.
We're asking for one a bit later.
Later on in the programme, when we talk about bagging some swag, we're going to do a bit of a punt and see if someone can help us out. I'm going to pick out some of the less graphically impressive games, shall we say.
Yeah.
I'm talking Wii Fit, I'm talking Professor Layton, which actually is nice graphically in its own way, and I'm talking Guitar Hero World Tour.
Okay, let me...
doesn't need, really, that many... graphical flips and trips, because it's all about gameplay.
It's all about the physicality of it, which, as you know, has been the story of 2008 and will continue to be the story of 2009. I can tell you that because I go all over the world to these exclusive preview events and so on. I was at the toy fair and I saw an add-on for the Wii that you put on your belt, and rather than moving the cursor keys or your joypad or your Wiimotes, whatever, you actually run or walk and your character reacts. So it's a very physical, involving concept. Guitar Hero sort of ticks those boxes, doesn't it? I think. I don't know if there are many people who haven't sampled the joy of rocking out on Guitar Hero World Tour.
There's no better party game than Guitar Hero World. We did it New Year's Eve. We had the bass, we had the lead guitar. We had two lead guitars, actually, because I was still using mine from Guitar Hero 3. We had the drums.
Can anyone get the touch slider bar at the new guitars?
I can't
do that.
Right?
Oh man, I can't do it properly.
That's a tough one. Yeah, I agree with you. That's a tough one.
I just stick to the old buttons. It's brilliant. I still love it, but I can't get it to work on the new.
You mentioned Wii Fit. That's in the list, and I was disappointed with Wii Fit.
Yeah, you know what it is?
It's because I'm not a girl. That's why.
You know what?
My girlfriend loves it.
I'm going to pick you up there, because Wii Fit was, I think, did it come number two in your gadget show? Gadget of the year.
But that wasn't my choice, dude.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? You know what? I'll be honest.
Some other presenters on that show, and they're a bit dodgy, if you ask me.
I'll put this on the line. Wii Fit, I got it in September the 8th, 2008, 2.5 stone later.
Yeah.
Really?
No,
yeah,
really?
2.5 stone.
Really?
Wii Fit every day.
You've been serious?
Honestly.
That's commitment
straight
right there. Really?
I've done it every day.
That's incredible.
Because this is it. I do it for like 4 days, and then I forget for a week or two, and then
I'm
thinking, I'm having
a sandwich. That's where I'm going wrong.
Nintendo DS, we've got one, as far as I can see. We've got one nomination. It's Professor Layton and the Curious Village.
What a nomination, though. Have you seen that game?
I've never seen a better looking... It almost looks like a Belleville Rendezvous style.
Totally.
It's so sort of... You dive right in there, whereas you don't dive into your brain trainings and your more brain trainings.
No, but it drags you through the brain training type experience into a narrative-based world. You're right. It's got the graphic novel look to it. It's a really nice little game. And you know what? Really popular with the kids, to the extent that you couldn't even get hold of them at Christmas.
Well, I was playing the American version of this game, I think last March or something like that, and it took forever to come out here. Now you can't buy it anywhere.
No, and it's well deserved, and that's right in there in our final titles.
Grand Theft Auto 4, we're about to see the new DLC downloadable content for this. It's going to be big. The game is massive in itself. For me, that's one of these sort... I think that's the game for me which will take the title, I think.
Really? That's interesting that you think that.
I don't think it's going to get it this year. I think Grand Theft Auto has had some very good years at the BAFTAs, and you know, it's had a lot of appreciation. But I just don't. I don't think there's enough in GTA 4 to really make it stand out.
For me, this was the first game which
it's like GTA 3.5 for me.
Yeah, but for me, this was the first game where they created like a movie.
Yeah.
Where they had the producers, they had the extras, they had the soundtrack, everything was came together.
Do you not think
they
Vice City had all that, though?
They
like
must
6 years ago?
I think they spent something like $200 million.
Oh, but money doesn't make it a BAFTA award-winning game, surely. You know, it's slick, and I love GTA 4 loads, but I just think that there's other games out there in this list which are doing things
let
better.
Let me tell you one of those games.
Go on.
No. Let me take you down the Left 4 Dead route.
Okay. So this is the one that I've not played.
Listen,
boyfriend.
This is
the one I've not played.
As you have got to get online, go to the Steam-powered whatever it is .com, the online gaming download service that Valve, makers of Half-Life 2, Half-Life, as we know, Counter-Strike, please, the world's definitive first-person shooter. From that stable comes Left 4 Dead. It's basically you're Simon Pegg. And you are just whooping zombies, all right? We got hundreds of the things racing around, and you're in this kind of squad of four. I want to move away from the phrase ass whooping, but I'm going to go with it. Zombie killers.
So zombie stomping.
Yeah, you've got an old guy. You've got a girl. You've got a
cop. Is there a cop?
There's a guy with lots of tattoos, and you play as these guys with your mates. So it's a cooperative.
That's
adventure.
The big thing for
that
it, isn't
is.
It? It's all about having the team, the four of you, working together. Because, like you mentioned earlier, there are hundreds of these zombies. And they're not shambling, are they? They proper come at you. That's the one thing that struck me. They don't half move.
Yeah, George.
When they see you, oh, my God.
I always get his name. Was it George? Is it Romero?
Romero. Oh, yeah.
I mean, the guy, you know, was... He established the modern zombie movie genre. But his zombies didn't move quickly enough.
No.
And was it the I Am Legend film? The ones in Left 4 Dead move like the zombie stroke, whatever they are in I Am Legend. Oh, they come at you, man.
Dude, what else are you up to at the moment?
Dude, my book, Dot Robot.
Brilliant.
Published by Puffin, came out last week, launched at the Apple Store in London, Geek's Paradise, It's the first of a trilogy, so it's a novel, 9 to 13-year-olds. Imagine Harry Potter, then forget everything about Harry Potter, think Harry Potter for maybe, you know, the Nintendo generation. So, you know, I'm kidding. I'm a massive Harry Potter fan. I wouldn't even ever suggest that I could sit at the feet of J.K. Rowling, but the book has that same sort of geek hero thing going on. That's my point. My hero, Jackson Farley, 12-year-old mathematics genius and computer gaming addict, plays a game called Whisper, in brackets, World of Warcraft, and he gets inducted into this secret robot defense force via the internet, via Messenger, and this guy called Devlin Lear, a little bit like Bill Gates, kind of, although with a personality, he recruits gamers from around the world, the professional gaming duo, the Kojima twins from Japan, Brooke English, 12-year-old, she's already graduated from MIT in robotic engineering at the age of 12, she's an American. They come together in this virtual fighting force. And here's the thing. Is this a statement of the disconnected generation or not? None of the characters in my book ever meet.
Oh, wow.
You know, it sounds to me like a mix between Charlie and the Chocolate Factory meets War Games with Matthew Broderick.
I'm not so with you on the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I mean, the weird kids from around the world getting together.
All coming together.
But I could maybe have some guy that blows up when he eats like too much chocolate. I could do that.
Think of it for the sequel.
Yeah.
Remember us.
It's called Dot Robot, and I genuinely wouldn't be recommending it to your audience because they're obviously keen gamers, unless I didn't think it would push all their buttons.
Love it. Jason Bradbury from The Gadget Show, author of Dot Robot. We're talking BAFTA Video Game Awards, March 10th. Your chance to vote, www.BAFTAGameAward.com. You're listening to A Link to the Cast on City Talk 105.9.
Mick and Rick, you rock.
Okay, so it's A Link to the Cast, your new video games podcast through citytalk.fm. We're just talking there about the shortlist for the nominees for the Game of the Year award. Rick is our PlayStation 3 man. Brian Shelf is our Xbox 360 man. DS game on there as well. Call of Duty Modern Warfare, Fallout 3, Gears of War 2, GTA 4, World Tour, Left 4 Dead, Little Big Planet, Professor Layton, Wii Fit, and World of Warcraft, Wrath of the Lich King. Brian Shelf, your thoughts, Game of the Year.
Game of the year. To me, and this is going to make me sound really ignorant about computer games, but it's Grand Theft Auto, because that's the first one I've ever played. And and that's what I got the Xbox for.
Rick, though, your definitive pick now, the one that gets your vote for the awards happening on March the 10th?
Can I only have one? Okay, well, it's going to be Little Big Planet for me. It just completely rewrote kind of what games can do. It's so different to anything else you played. I mean, fundamentally, it's just a platformer, but, you know, the ability that's all wrapped in there, that you can make your own content, you can go on, you can share, brilliant, complete package, which hadn't been done before.
Surely, though, making your own levels, don't you want someone else to have made the levels for you?
Okay, so Link to the Cast on City Talk 105.9. We were talking about it a little earlier on. One of the biggest games of 2008, Grand Theft Auto 4 on the Xbox 360 and the PlayStation 3. Well, guess what? Unless you've been living under the rock, you won't know, or maybe you will know, there's now downloadable content available exclusive to the Xbox 360. It's called Grand Theft Auto 4, The Lost and the Damned. Now, you're playing the character Johnny. He's from a motorcycle gang. He's just trying to make a living, just trying to make ends meet. He's got his boss just come out of rehab. He's just come out of jail. It's a great story. It's all downloadable through Xbox 360, and it's exclusive. Now, one of the voices, one of the most famous voices on Grand Theft Auto, all the way back to GTA 3, is Laszlo. You'll know him from Chatterbox. He's also now on Integrity 2.0. He joins us on the line now, right here on City Talk 105.9, on A Link to the Cast. How's it going, man?
How you doing, Mick?
GTA, Grand Theft Auto, where does the story begin for you? All the way back at GTA 3?
Yes, I met actually one of the founders of Rockstar on the beach, because people are always like, how do you get into video games? I said, well, I was sort of slacking and surfing. And he said, oh, we've got this game and we're going to be putting some radio in it. Why don't you come in and meet some of the guys? And so I met Dan Houser, one of the founders of Rockstar, and he and I became writing partners and have done all the spoof radio in the games. And in Grand Theft Auto 4, there's actually spoof television. So we're now making TV shows that your character in the game watches.
I mean, the thing with the radio stations that you hear on Grand Theft Auto, if you compare it to, say, something like Crazy Taxi, which I think was something like 3 or 4 Offspring tracks just on rotation, this is something else, isn't it? This is the next level.
Yeah, we license so many music tracks now, it's insane. I mean, we license hundreds of tracks. Grand Theft Auto 4 had 200 tracks that we licensed. And then Grand Theft Auto 4, The Lost and Damned, which is the new chapter, as you mentioned, it's got like dozens of new tracks that are added to the stations in game. So there's hip-hop stations, there's rock stations, and in fact had numerous artists create new tracks, exclusive tracks, just for the game.
The scale of this game is unbelievable, isn't it? And the scale of the work that you're involved with is peculiar as well. People will think, oh, you're one of the voices from the radio station. Actually, that as you say, you write it, you script most of the stations on there.
The scale to make these games, I mean, if you look at how large Liberty City is and how big Grand Theft Auto 4 is, you know, it took hundreds of us working for 3 years to make this game. And the you know, the radio, there's like 18 radio stations in the game, talk stations, all the TV. You know, we have a staff that is working full time on just putting the radio and TV. And in fact, you know, even in Grand Theft Auto 4, you can go watch comedians. Ricky Gervais was one of the comedians in the game, as well as Cat Williams. And then we have Frankie Boyle is the comedian in Grand Theft Auto 4, The Lost and Damned, that you can go check out. But I mean, that, you know, that requires motion capture and animators. And so it's a massive undertaking, but I think it came out pretty well.
I mean, in terms of your involvement in radio, I mean, you know this game, don't you? You've worked in it, you've done it for years and years and years. Now, you'll know there are certain rules you have to adhere to when you're producing radio. You're producing live radio that's going out across the nation, be it America or here in the UK. Is it nice to be able to break all those rules or to have no rules?
Well, we do have a few rules. I mean, there's certain things that we don't make fun of, but it is quite nice. And I get email from so many radio people in the UK and the United States that are like, oh, it must be so nice to make such offensive commercials about, you know, I mean, we make commercials called babiesovernight.com, yeah, where you can order a baby over the internet. Some of these jokes are just really on the edge. But Grand Theft Auto games are basically a spoof of American culture. So all the radio, the TV, the way that people act in the games, the storylines, it's very much sort of goofing on this obsession that Americans have with you know, violence and advertising and all the strange ironies that come along with our bizarre politics and the way that the country was established. So, and it's strangely, we seem to have more fans in the UK than we do the US, because I guess maybe that's because we make so much fun of the United States in the game.
I mean, I was surprised. I mean, we've got the review of the game is coming up in just a few minutes time, but I mean, I was surprised when I managed to play the opening bars of the game, if you like, that it feels like a brand new game. Although it's a setting that we recognize, it doesn't feel like this is just a bolt-on. It doesn't feel like this is just an add-on. This is something new, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the New York Times, I was reading a couple of days ago, was saying that this has never been done before. Most people, when they do a quote-unquote mission pack, you know, you get like a new outfit and a new gun. And this is a whole new game. You know, it is set in Liberty City, but it's a whole new storyline with new characters. You play a biker. You've got new weapons. There's new interiors and things like that. You do interact with some of the main characters in the storyline, and you sort of see the other side of some missions that you did in Grand Theft Auto 4, and some things are explained. So it's very nice how it sort of connect some of the dots there. And I have to mention, we're also working on a second episode that should hopefully be out in the next year.
I think you've just brought us an exclusive.
Yeah.
That sounds like an exclusive to A Link to the Cast.
It may be exclusive. You know, when I'm a bit hungover, I tend to reveal things that I shouldn't, so.
The future of Grand Theft Auto, is this the way it's going to go? You create almost like a skeleton of a city and a skeleton of characters, and then you're just allowed to pick and choose and add to it as and when you please?
Yeah, I think that downloadable content is going to be the future, because for several reasons. One, it is so much easier for us to deliver a game, you know, directly downloaded to your Xbox, versus, you know, product packaging, getting it shipped to stores. Then you have stores that open it up early and leak it out on the internet. The second one is, you know, we have more development time. When we don't have to worry about pressing discs, we can be, you know, doing final fixes and adding final stuff to a game, you know, up to a week before it comes out. So I think in terms of distribution, I mean, if you look at the way that television and movies are being distributed, it's the idea of walking down to a shop and renting a DVD is becoming really antiquated. Grand Theft Auto 4 took over 3.5 years to make that virtual world. So you obviously can't churn out a game of that magnitude every year. But what you can do is you can create that virtual city and then tell stories inside that city. So you have the main game, and then you have two other games that come out, you know, a year or so after the main game, that are additional content and a whole new storyline, but set in the same city and interacting with the same storyline.
I guess it's like you build a house, you decorate it one way, then you strip all that wallpaper off and put some new decoration on.
Right. And then you get a divorce and you go bald and you drink a lot, but that's just me.
Do you sort of pinch yourself and think, I'm involved here in one of the biggest franchises in gaming history?
Yeah, every now and then I sort of sit back and I say to myself, you know, if you would have gone back to the 18-year-old Laszlo, who was sort of sitting there drinking beer and smoking cigarettes, and said, I know that you're unemployed at the moment, but in a few years' time, you're going to be writing copy for Ricky Gervais. I think that the 18-year-old Laszlo would have said, you're on drugs, go away. What's been nice is the team that's worked on Grand Theft Auto, the main team is in Edinburgh, in Scotland. They have cranked on this game since it originally came out, and it's been the same team of all of us that has worked on the Grand Theft Auto series. So we've all sort of become like family, and we keep pushing ourselves to deliver a better game each time. You know, when Vice City came out, I was like, there's no way we can do better than this. And then, you know, we started work on San Andreas, and we had to do better than that. And so we keep upping the level each time.
So we've got Lost and Damned. We've got new downloadable content coming out soon-ish. Chinatown Wars coming out on the DS as well. Have you had any involvement in that?
Yeah, I worked on the radio stations in that one as well. Though that's a lot of fun, the Nintendo DS, because it's the Chinatown Wars is a top-down Grand Theft Auto, like the first two, Grand Theft Auto 1 and 2. You know, when Grand Theft Auto Liberty City Stories came out, it was so much fun to have a GTA, you know, mobile, so you could be playing it on the on the plane or the train. And I'm really looking forward to having a mobile GTA. I mean, I've got a copy of Chinatown Wars in my office back in New York, but you know, you're not allowed to take it out of the out of the office because it's still in development. But
yeah. Great to speak to you. An absolute pleasure. Like I say, I've only played the opening bars of The Lost and Damned. We've got the full review coming up in a couple of minutes' time, but an absolute pleasure. A legend. You're becoming a legend of video gaming.
Maybe over here, you know, in the United States, I there's so much less recognition. Like, I try to pick up chicks and say, yo, I'm in Grand Theft Auto. It just it never flies. But over here, I've already picked up 3 chicks.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's working. I'm working it.
Okay, so what about that? Laszlo Jones, the star of Grand Theft Auto 4 and 3. And
wow.
Brian Shelf, you've been playing The Lost and the Damned. This is our official review. Now, because of how we record the podcast before it goes out, you've only had a limited time to play. So bring us what you know on The Lost and Damned.
First of all, it's great to be back in Liberty City. There are some really sort of quite simple cosmetic changes. It's been given a bit of a grimy makeover for a start, which at first had me adjusting the brightness on my telly, but then I realised, no, they've just made it look like this. These are bikers. These are dirty. The plot, as much as it goes, is quite simple. You're a bloke called Johnny in a bike gang called The Lost. Obviously, at some point, you're going to move to try and take over. Like pretty much any plot in any game, it's just an excuse to get you to drive here, shoot them, drive there, trigger the next cutscene, which is invariably full of swearing, booze and drugs. Really nice touches though throughout the game, because there's characters from Grand Theft Auto 4, as I understand it, characters from throughout the rest of the series, which I haven't played, cropping up. You even team up with Nico from Grand Theft Auto 4 for one mission, which is cleverly saving space by using the same cutscene as it did last time, although, you know, shot from a slightly different angle. Quite how long it's going to last, I don't know. Am I going to get the 100 plus hours of play out of it like I did from Grand Theft Auto 4? Probably not. Some niggles. I'm not really sure if riding around on a bike is quite as much fun as trashing about in a car. However, they have improved the handling of the bikes, which was one of the things I hated in Grand Theft Auto 4. The bikes, you could fall off incredibly easily. As soon as you clipped anyone, you would go over the handlebars and then have to run all the way back. But frustratingly, because you're so good at the bikes, they've made the cars harder to handle.
Brilliant.
So there you go. There are only minor niggles, though. Also, in a game as big as this, same as Fallout 3, you're going to expect it to be glitchy at times. Right. Sometimes it feels a little too glitchy. The city is exactly the same as GTA 4, and clearly that's mostly designed for cars. And now you've got bikes, it's really easy to get wedged into part of the scenery. And that's it. You can't get back on your bike. And that's really stuffed me up on a couple of occasions, because certain missions, you can't complete them if you abandon your bike. And so it'll get stuck and I'm lost, and then I walk off and you have to do the mission again. They're only minor. Mm. They're only minor niggles, really. And for what, it's about 13 quid or something like that, yeah, whatever 1,600 Microsoft points is. So, you know, I can't complain, because it's squeezing loads more life out of a game, which, you know, has kind of been sat on the shelf for 6 months, tempting me to trade it in.
Well, of course, Laszlo exclusively revealed. I don't know if it's an exclusive. I think it's an exclusive that there's more downloadable content on the way. I'm thinking that when we do these reviews now, seeing as it's a brand new podcast on A Link to the Cast, we need to come up with some sort of mechanic, some sort of way of rating them. Now, are we going to do it in a how does it make you feel? Are we going to do it marks out of 10? Are we going to do it how many sheep, how many bananas out of 5? What, we need to think of a way of
pieces
doing
of the Triforce. It's a link to the cast, man.
What would make you stop playing it?
That's a great one.
What would you put the pad down for?
Yes, I like this. This is ideas in motion. Yes. Brian Shelf, you have been playing this month The Lost and the Damned. What would make you stop playing that game?
Bedtime.
That's fair enough. Fatigue, mental fatigue. That says a lot. I think that's a very positive review. We're going to move on. Rick, on the PS3, Killzone 2 you've been playing.
Oh, absolutely. And I've been absolutely loving every minute. I think it's fair to say that the core demographic of PS3 owners like to shoot stuff. And I don't think shooting gets any more visceral or kind of gritty as Killzone 2. Back in 2004, the original Killzone was released, and it had a whole lot of fuss surrounding it because it was, you know, a really attractive game for the PS2, but ultimately it didn't play very well. It was really slow and sluggish. They've completely reset about doing all that now. It is absolutely brutal. You're in the middle of a war zone, and it's a war zone unlike anything you've seen before. I'm willing to say that it's probably the best looking game on the PS3. It is the best looking game on the PS3 right now. in terms of how it plays, it's all about first-person cover systems. So you're running up behind bollards and you're trying to get cover while the enemies are outflanking you. And they are genuinely smart. So you've got to work as part of your team with your mates and try and outflank them before they get round you. It is brutal. The enemies, they erupt in all kinds of blood and gore. The heads explode if you shotgun them too close. It's nasty. It's a proper adult game. But ultimately, it's a very, very well put together and enjoyable one. I don't think shooting has been anywhere near as good as it before.
And what would make you stop playing that game?
Oh, what would make me?
Yeah, well, yeah.
If it's online, very little, I'm afraid.
The threat of a girlfriend moving out?
What are you trying to suggest? Just because I dropped you in it the other day.
Essentially, what you're saying is you would put your relationship in jeopardy.
I'd say she'd tolerate two nights of ridiculous, like, 6 or 7 hours stints
online.
Two
nights in the spare room, just so you can play this
game. It's not in the spare room, it's the living room.
That's a great review, though. Potentially relationship-wrecking game.
I think it's a great review of your relationship. What would it take to leave your relationship? Nice one. I'm going to bring you...
You've got something special, haven't you?
House of the Dead Overkill. It's an on-rail shooter. It's an on-the-rails zombie shooter. The style of it, it's all about the style for me. It's grindhouse horror. The acting in it is terrible, but it's deliberately terrible. It's all done as well. You get sort of the flicker of the movie screen as well. Graphics-wise, I think it looks pretty good. It looks good for a Wii game. It's one of the better-looking games.
The kind of thing that annoys me a bit is a lot of the zombies are the same.
This is my point. This is my major hang-up about this. Yeah. There are about sort of probably 6 to 8 zombies on each level, which are just repeatedly coming out. So you might be, you're in a level where you're in a hospital theatre and you've got zombies coming at you, but there'll be 4 zombies and they'll all be the same nurse will be coming at you. Now, for me, that's a bit of an issue. There's a couple of things I did like about the visuals. There's a couple of options. You could shoot these gold things which appeared on screen and that gave you sort of a slow-mo bullet time sort of thing where you really got to pick off zombies. The script acting, to start off with, I think is absolutely brilliant. The swearing in it is absolutely horrendous. It's
a tremendous amount of swearing.
It's not in any way a children's game. This is strictly 18 and
absolutely.
Over. It's very much Snakes on a Plane, that sort of style. Longevity-wise, although there's the director's cut mode as well, which I've not had a chance to get into yet. There's also co-op mode as well. I think it's going to become eventually more of a party game, more than a one-player sort of experience. But the question I hear you ask is...
Go on. What would make you stop playing it?
You know what?
Oh, yes.
You know what would make me stop playing? Well remembered there, Brian. What would make me stop playing? You know what? A phone call from a former colleague.
Really?
That's what... If somebody called me who I used to work with, I'd maybe put that game down and say, you know what, I'll have this conversation.
I think you're probably right. You see, I often judge that it's what I call a bath game. I will start running a bath and play a level of it.
There you go.
And then stop to go and have a bath.
Yeah, but water pressure in your house is very poor, so it does take quite a long time. So that's reviews for this month. Killzone 2, The Lost and the Damned, the new DLC for Grand Theft Auto 4 on the Xbox 360, and House of the Dead Overkill, strictly for over 18s. And not quite as exciting as a phone call from a former colleague. It's a link to the cast with Mick, Rick, Adam on the buttons, and Brian Shelf as well. We're going to wrap up the competition now. If you want to get involved still, you can email us and we'll reveal some of your answers in the next episode. Just games@citytalk.fm and we'll pick those up and we'll have a little natter about them in the next episode. But the story was this and the mechanic was this. I came up with a story involving a character. You have to think of a headline. How it would appear in a tabloid newspaper. The story was this. The star of Metal Gear Solid was driving down a road when he span off, crashing his car into a field full of cows and ending up with a car flipping over repeatedly. That's the story. Have a think of the headline. Now, Adam, bless him, he's come up with... His headline is this: mincemeat disaster for Solid Snake.
Mincemeat, lovely.
Which is absolutely rubbish.
I think it's maybe a bit long, really, to fit on any kind of a line. That
Rick,
well, mine's got real nerd points because being a fan of Metal Gear, I know a bit of trivia. So you're not going to get this. Mine is David Cow Hater. The guy who plays Solid Snake is actually called David Hater. And there he is crashing into all the cows. David Cow Hater.
He didn't hate the cows, though.
Oh, well, he's trashing them. He may have killed a couple. I don't know.
A couple of marks for that one.
Cheers.
Brian Shelf.
Mine's rubbish.
Go on.
Snake spin makes milkshake.
That's good, man. Snakes been makes milkshake. I like it. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Right. Well, I'll tell you now. Again, you can get involved still if you want. If you think you've got a better one, I think I've come up with the ultimate one. Although I did sort of think of the headline and then try and work out what the story was.
Work a feature that's around cheating. Something.
It goes like this: snake, cattle, and roll.
Oh, yeah. That's good. That.
This is where we play sound effects.
Very nice.
Have a round of applause. There we go. So there we go. We'll have another one. Get involved. games@citytalk.fm. That's it. Time to wrap. Like I say, we're going to be back sort of March the 11th with a review of the BAFTA Game Awards. We'll just have a quick natter about what won, what didn't win, and what we're looking forward to for the rest of 2009. Rick, many thanks for your time.
Thank you. And don't forget, head up citytalk.fm/cast, and we'll put all the links from the show today on there as well.
Brian Shelf, many thanks for your time.
No problem at all.
And if you want to hear any of it again, just rewind and press play. It works magnificently. We'll catch you next time.